Read now from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus said to them, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And as for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to the heaven? You will go down to the netherworld. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me." In today's readings, then, we receive a call to repentance. The reading from Baruch is more general and could be applied to a people or a nation or a history of a people who just don't seem to catch on. Perhaps it may be used as a good wake-up call to our present society and world where materialistic, agnostic secularism is the order of the day. I know that, like so many other people, I feel compromised by political parties, our system of banking, and a worldwide indifference to values and the finer forms of human expression. One might use the word beatitude or holiness for the sort of manner of living that I'm looking for. The gospel itself intensifies and personalizes this call to conversion. We can easily find other people who seriously need conversion, but what about ourselves? I find it helpful to cast this question in a slightly different form because it's not so easy to see the beam in my own eye. What does it take to convince me that I need to change? We can expand this question and give it some substance if we can cast the question in positive terms. What are some of the needs of the people who surround me in my daily work? What about the needs of people who are at a distance? What about some of the economic and political conditions about which I feel so distressed and so powerless? But also, ask, what are the things that I really love to do, the things I'm good at? The answer has to do with our calling or vocation. We sometimes sell ourselves short and get captured by a negative frame of mind, other people's needs or fears or guilt. While respecting my real limitations and being careful about a peaceful rhythm in my life, what are some of the positive features that God is willing to realize in me? Sometimes we sell ourselves short, but more seriously, fail to take advantage of God's generous and creative love, yes, even for me. We forget that God is willing to realize his marvelous creative love right in the middle of the circumstances that we find so defeating. We need to expand our field of possibilities. I like to use small steps, because in all of this, it's so easy to get caught up in some grand egocentric scheme or somebody else's ideas. But simple, small steps can bring us into harmony with the inner rhythm of our own lives. I think that it is here that grace can be really active. I've constantly been surprised in life by the richness of small encounters, but we have to be open enough, relaxed enough, to see what can really happen. God can bless these small encounters, and we can discover changes that are built on solid ground. What is even more important is that the flow of energy for such changes arises from within. Perhaps too often we look to the supernatural, the extreme, when really God seems more at home and present in the simple, in the natural. Remember, God is really at the center of things, and that's especially true for our lives of service. When I think back to all the causes and movements and events to which I've given my energies over the years, I'm thankful for some great experiences, but at times the motivation for my behavior was clouded by guilt and conformity with a certain correct religious position that had to be fulfilled and honored, be it liberal or conservative. In my very early years, the term was relevant. This is a sad story that's repeated from time to time. I harkens back to the 50s and 60s. And people would talk about a priest that was not terribly successful in his career, not totally engaged in life itself. And then half-humorously, someone would say, "Poor Father John, he never really seemed to find himself." I think it was John's mother who really had the vocation to the priesthood. Well, it's a terrible thing to live our lives under the shadow of other people's choices. What I'm saying today, seeing today, is that many people who have not made a choice at all are really perishing in despair. They're confused and dissatisfied, and since we are all involved in this cultural ambiguity, we all need to embrace the challenge of today's gospel. The conversion is not just toward change or some random experimentation. Our conversion is our coming to life in the Spirit in Jesus Christ. And here we needn't be coerced to change. Here there's a great hunger in our world for just this fuller satisfaction and connection with the God who is the source of life itself. We'd like to be connected, fully realized in this calling which God has set in motion in the very act of creating us. Would you be exalted to heaven, Scripture says. Well, yes. Bringing our fuller attentiveness to the smaller moments of life can bring us to such a birth of the Spirit within us. A conversion in the finest sense of our Catholic traditions.